what their universe looks like and what they want to know about and what they want to read is very different from what we might think for them.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
I'm Paul Kropp, and I write many novels for kids who don't much like to read, some novels for teenagers that tend to win awards in various places, and I've written a book called How to Make Your Child a Reader for Life, which makes me some kind of authority on reading in Canada, and a few other places too. What I said in my book is I think reading, especially when parents are doing some of it, is a negotiated territory. So there's a certain amount of what the children want, and there's a certain amount of what the parents want. And that proportion is going to change over time. So what we find with very little kids is that, by and large, the parents are making the call for 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, because the kids often go along with whatever the parents like. And my goodness, if Dad shows an enthusiasm for Lord of the Rings, the child will sit there and listen for a while. But by age 7 and 8, then it's more negotiated. The kids are going to say, no, I want to read, I don't know, Junie B. Jones or some kind of serious book. And the parents are going to say, oh, no, you should be really reading such and such. And by the time the kids are 12, 13, most parents have sort of washed their hands and said, well, I guess you're going to read whatever it is that you want to read, which is a shame, but it's the pattern that tends to happen. If you're going to a bookstore, then the child gets to choose a book, pretty much no questions asked, and the parents get to choose a book. That's that kind of trade-off that will work pretty well from children from 8 to 16 or so. There's a certain amount of individualized choice that's acknowledged. And often the books that kids choose to read are just fine reads. I could not say, on the basis of what I have observed over the last 20, 30 years, that parents' choices of books for kids are any better than kids' choices of books for themselves. Probably more important than quality reading for the average child is what we might call bulk reading. In terms of making your child a reader for life, it does not really matter that some official childhood classic be placed on the shelf and read over and over again. What really matters is that something a child really enjoys, and we never know what that's going to be, is on the bookshelf so the kid can pick it up. I call that the favorite book phenomenon, because once a child has selected a favorite book, it can be read 300 times over a lifetime. We actually have data to that effect. So favorite books are just read again and again and again. And those books have to be in the house. You know, it can't just be a library book. And they may not be a book that you like or that a reasonable adult likes. My favorite book as a child was Little Black Sambo, terribly politically incorrect. And I would never give it to a child these days. But boy, I thought it was fascinating because there was a little hole in the book and there was a tiger on the last page. A very, very junky little book. But it worked. And it was one of the books that I read again and again. I sometimes tell the story about my first child who, my wife and I, decided that Jason's favorite book would be Charlotte's Web. And we began with the Disney version, reading it to him when he was a baby, and then moved to the real book later on. We read the book to him for years, until finally, I think he was 6, and a pretty good reader, actually. He turned around and he said, you know, I really don't like that book. I don't like spiders. His favorite book, the one he started with, was, again, a very stupid book called Hand, Hand, Fingers, Thumb, an easy-read, rhythmical, silly book. And those frequently work for young kids. The great bits of literature tend not to. So that's why I say I favor bulk reading as opposed to trying to push whatever we think in any given time is the best thing for our kids to read. The importance of having your own books has to do with their rereading phenomenon. Even more than adults, when a kid finds a book that he or she likes, that book gets read over and over again. And unfortunately, libraries have, much as I love libraries, there are some technical problems. I mean, the first one is they want the books back. In the United States, they actually send the police out to get them sometimes. So that's problem number one. And problem number two, there are difficulties with repeated borrowings of the same book. I think libraries are a great place to try out all sorts of books. Older kids are frequently into series books. Those change over time. Well, the Twins series is big right now. Goosebumps was big before that. Babysitter's Club before that. When I first started, it was the Man from U.N.C.L.E. books. Those things move around. All you need are one or two, and the library is a good source for the rest. Reading, historically, is public as opposed to private. It became private only in the 19th century. And before that, most reading was done out loud because books were too expensive and few people could afford them. So, and literacy rates were quite low, 10-20%. So a family might have one reader, and it would be the job of the reader to read aloud to the rest of the family, which is an excellent thing. Reading was social. People not only got the reading, but they would talk about it. They could ask questions. If your listener were confused, the listener could say, but how did little Nell get there? And then the reader could answer the question, or somebody else in the audience could answer the question. Actually, the newspaper phrase, this is a bit of trivia, gazette that we use, is Italian for reading aloud. It is something that is proclaimed rather than literally read in front of your eyes. So these days, reading is still a social event, and kids know that probably better than adults. Adults are just rediscovering this. For kids, first thing you want to do after you've read a book is you want to read it again. You want to share it with your little brother. You want to share it with a friend. It's why series books are so successful. Kids get very excited about books and want to talk about them. The Adult Reading Club is sort of an extension of that childhood phenomenon that we're trying to get back to the social aspect of a book. Because we want to talk about it, and unfortunately, silent reading, which is what we do after about age 6 or 7, is very private, sometimes an antisocial event. Mm-hmm. So somehow we have to restore the public sphere. You can do draconian things. I mean, in my house, we've got rules against reading at the table. And this came about one day when, everybody came to the breakfast table with their nose stuck in a book. It was antisocial. We need times when families talk to each other, because that we know that family talk time is very important. I've written elsewhere about the importance of families maintaining family discussion time, which in our society, if you can get a regular dinner, or you do it over dinner, or lunch. Not all families are organized in that way. So. But that time is, to some extent, family structure and discussion time is probably more important than moving eyes across one more bit of print.
Uh-huh. Wanna be somebody else? Or do you really care about your kind? Is there really anything on your mind? Do you feel good about yourself? Or do you wanna be somebody else? Or do you really care about your kind? Is there really anything on your mind? Do you feel good about yourself? Or do you wanna be somebody else? Or do you really care about your kind? Is there really anything on your mind? Do you feel good about yourself? Somebody else, or do you really care about your kind? Is there really anything on your mind? We gotta share our love with one another. We got to wipe the frowns right off our face. Can't live no more hurting each other. It's a doggone shame and a damn disgrace in the cloudy minds of unloved people who never knew what it was all about. Got to be a real shining example on the positive side so we can really turn out. I'll sing for you if you dance for me. Now let's rock together in harmony. Rhythms in our hearts, the music's in our souls. We got a story to tell that's still untold. Feel good about yourself, or do you want to be somebody else? Or do you really care about your kind? Is there really anything on your mind? Do you feel good about yourself? Or do you want to be somebody else? Or do you really care about your kind? Is there really anything on your mind? Do you feel good about yourself? Or do you want to be somebody else? Or do you really care about your kind? Is there really anything somebody else? Do you really care about your calendar? Is there really anything on your mind?
Do you feel good?
Do you feel good? Do you feel good?
Don't call! Come along now, you'll be late for parade! Rip, rip! Rip, car!
You are listening to Radio Free
School
on CFMU.
Welcome, parents. Do I have the 3 hours? You know, read to your child, reach into your pocket, buy books, and turn off the television set or the video games. So that's pretty simple. Things to avoid. I wouldn't push reading too long. If you're doing nightly reading, I would say 20 minutes is probably enough. Anybody who's trying to push an hour is making a mistake. That would be a bit of advice number one. Number two, I probably wouldn't always push my own choice as an adult for my child's reading. We know that kids want to reread stories over and over again and that they learn a lot by doing that. We should accept that. We know that kids like dumb, silly books. We should read those books to them, whether we like that or not. So we cannot be too draconian in enforcing our own choices. I would caution parents that every child is different. So you can't assume that the books that work for one child will work for another. You can't assume that the reading development of one child will be the same as another. And children who are about a year apart can be read to together and will often enjoy the same things. But at 2 years, the danger is that one child, usually the older one, will become the reader and the younger one will just fall behind because this whole trick of reading has already been mastered by the older sibling. And you don't want to lose reading and sibling rivalry. So what I recommend to people is separate reading time. The kids listen in on each other's books anyhow. But if you're doing Johnny one day, then you do Jillian the next. And Ralph the third day, you do it on some kind of cycle so that they each have independent time and can develop what they want independently. Books for kids are radically different at two-year intervals. So a book for a child who's five is very different from one who's three or somewhat different and quite a bit different from a book for a child who's seven who's learned how to read. And they have to be kept separate. What else would I caution? Don't let mom do all the reading. Too many families, the real data, dads all lie and say they read to the kids every night. But the truth is that the data on the number of dads reading regularly and consistently with children is very depressing. And for young boys, it's very important to have their dad as a reading model and the nightly reading guy. So don't let mom take over. There's a study done in Guelph recently that found that the more children who have difficulty with reading, the more mom sort of pushes dad out of the picture and takes over the reading entirely by herself. And that's a tremendous mistake. And lastly, what would I say? A big issue for me is supporting boy reading. All the data around the world indicates that boy readers are becoming very endangered. The reasons for that are very complex. Sometimes I talk about it for hours at a time. But one of the ways around it is to make sure that boys get the books that work for them, and that will probably work more. That leans towards nonfiction. It leads towards action and adventure. And it leans away from the beautiful, sensitive books that we might sometimes like children to read. As I sometimes joke, only a dad can read a page of the Sears Tool catalog to his son and make it work. And we need to encourage more dads to do that kind of thing because that's a very valid kind of reading, too. A page of wrenches can be a thrilling experience, especially with brighter boys. Fantasy is a very powerful genre, and these days it seems to be working very well with kids. Whether it will continue to work, we don't know. People have remarked that children's books reflect the overall environment in which they live more than it does the particular reading desires of kids. And for some reason, these days, we find fantasy for kids much more acceptable than realistic work. That has something to do with, more to do with the world that we live in than with the children who are in front of our faces. And that would be a big change from, say, 30, 40 years ago. And before that, it was fairy tales, which were, again, a different kind of environment. So what kids will want to read changes reflects deep psychosocial trends What could we make of that rise of the junior horror book a few years ago, Fear Street and Goosebumps? Why did the kids suddenly decide that this was cool? And then why did they suddenly decide that it wasn't? Now, I don't have an answer on that one, though I could speculate endlessly.
So how about you tell us some of your favorite children's books?
Oh, gosh, I think I listed 300 in How to Make Your Child a Reader for Life. So it's really hard to nail down one or two books that are my personal favorites. Those that I write, I think, are especially wonderful. So I could do a plug in your bookstore today. You will find the Mr. Dress-Up books, which are just out and are written by me for young children. And they're very easy read-alouds, and I think they're going to work very well on the basis of the testing that I've done so far. Oh, you know, there are so many great books, and I keep on saying you never know what's going to be the most wonderful book for a particular child, regardless of how brilliant one happens to be. And I'll raise my hand and say, yes, indeed, I was a brilliant parent. But, boy, I guessed wrong again and again and again. And I think you really have to follow your kids in their eyes and what they know about. You know, that 20, 30-year span between your children and yourself is a big span. What their universe looks like and what they want to know about and what they want to read is very different from what we might think for them. I would hate to ever see the fun get lost in reading, because the truth is that reading is about is a kind of revolutionary activity. It's got to be a bit naughty and a bit silly and a bit fun to be worthwhile and to do what historically reading has always done. I think fun is a lovely component. But I'll take it one step more on that. A fellow named Tom Gunning, quite a distinguished researcher in the field, said, you know, we've told kids for so long that the reason they should read is so that they can have fun. And he says, you know, kids can have fun lots of different ways. You can have fun playing baseball or playing video games or watching a movie. He said, the thing about reading is that not only is it fun, but it'll make you smart. That's what we got to tell kids.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Do you like picking up your own stories, or do you like it?
I always pick up my own.
You do?
And I'm very angry with that man that said when it's toddlers that it's just the parents choose. When they're 7 or 8, it's more of a negotiation. And when they're 12 and stuff, then they just let their kids pick out for themselves. Because I'm 8 and I pick up all my books for myself. Oh. Every single one. I never read anything that someone gets out. Unless it's Nancy Drew, because I read them all.
He talks about reading being it can sometimes be a social event where people read together, like when we're sitting on the bed reading together. And then it can be
also a private
thing. I don't
like it that way. It's too short. You don't read enough that way. You don't get to listen to as much. And I have trouble reading from people because it's so difficult. Because I have to read it out loud and I always forget to. And I read it so quietly. Because I read it to myself and not to them.
So you're into silent reading to yourself?
Yeah.
Right? Where's your favourite spot to read?
My room.
Do you like to read in the daytime, the night, any time?
Any time. Nancy Drew, The Hardy Boys, Harry Potter, Astrid Lindgren. One of my favorite ones of Astrid Lindgren is Romeo the Robber's Daughter. My other favorite is Brothers Lionheart. Another nice one is Pippi Longstocking. I don't like it as much, though. My favorite one, probably, I couldn't choose. I'd probably have a tie for Romeo the Robber's Daughter and The Brothers Lionheart. Because it's more adventurous and more magic and stuff. The Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew don't, but they're still exciting.
Do you like books that have facts as well?
No, they're silly. All they do is tell you that magic doesn't exist.
But I mean, sometimes you need books to find out things, like, you know.
That's what movies are for. Because you can't do origami out of a book, it's almost impossible. You have to have it be shown by real life or a movie.
Okay, well, how about if you wanted to find out facts about stars or how things
work? You can get it from a movie. They show you more. More intriguing. It's easier to listen than the book.
Mm-hmm.
A book I want to read something interesting. I like things that have magic and then they teach things. I don't like most movies just teach you lots and stuff. All they say about electricity, for example, they always say that magic doesn't exist and it's electricity.
But something like that book that we just read, The Number Devil, they had a lot of. That was kind of like magic as well.
Yeah, that's what the good thing about Magic School Bus books. Uh-huh. But the Magic School Bus books are terrible. I like the movies. The books are copies of the movies, only made different. The movies were the originals. The Magic School Bus books they don't work in books. Some things just don't work in books. That's the thing about books. They just don't work. You have to have a visual mental picture. They have to have a visual picture sometimes. If the Lord of the Rings movies, you know, the animated ones, they just make the whole story different. The books would be the best part, though. You should always read the books before watching the movies.
Hi. I like the big blue book, and it has lots of stories that I like in it. Amelia Bedelia, and another one where there was this boy and he dressed up as a cat, and that's where cool. The wild things grow, and his room turned into a forest. And I like, and there's a story in the big blue book called The Rabbit's First Day, and he likes all the seasons. And there's the one about coffees, because he likes coffees. And his parents and mom and dad, his parents, well, they wanted to get rid of his coffee. And one night they said, put your blanket under your pillow and a blanket fairy will come and take it away and give you a brand new big boy present. And so he said, and so he went upstairs and he put his coffee up his pants, and then in the morning he came out and said, no blanket fairy. No wonder. No kidding, no wonder.
Do you like to pick out your own stories?
Yes.
Or do you want Mummy and Daddy to pick your stories out for you?
I like picking out my own.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes you like to read the stuff that your mum picks out, don't you?
No.
No? When's the best time to read for you? When do you like to read best of all?
Night time.
Is that your favourite time to be read to?
Yeah. Because I get to my comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning how to read.
And what kind of books would you like to read when you get older?
I don't know.
What book would you like for your birthday?
I don't want a book.
I thought you wanted a geology book.
No, I don't know. Tools.
Oh, okay, tools, okay. What do you like about reading and what's important?
Well, sometimes exciting, sometimes it gets weird, sometimes it's really boring. Depends on what kind of book it is.
Okay, so what's important in a book to you?
Adventures. I was reading this one book, Ronnie the Robber's Daughter, and it's really exciting. It's fun. It's because the children, there's only two children, and they decide to become brother and sister, but their mother and father, well, they're not friends at all. And they begin to decide to become brother and sister. They decide to move away. They lived in this one cave called the Bear Cave. They lived there only for the spring and summer, and they decided it was time they had a real horse. So, they captured two, and they named them Villain and Savage. Villain and Savage, of course, did not want to be ridden. And you know what Ronnie said? He said, when I say I'm going to ride, I'm going to ride. Do you hear me? And then so she got on, and then before she knew it, then she was flying headfirst into the lake. And Villain and Savage went scampering away.
Well, I like Pippin in Lord of the Rings. Like Ronnie and Burke in Ronnie and the Robber's Daughter, and I like Frodo in the Lord of the Rings, I like Merry in the Lord of the Rings, I like Arwen too, I like Pippi. The Number Devil, it's really funny because I like the way the Number Devil says Nink and Poop, it's funny. And yeah, he has like huge ears, big ears on top of his head, horns, I think. Yeah, horns. He's red. And he always appears in this dream of a boy's dream. Teaches him math. Robert, the boy's name is Robert. And he, well, you know, the Number Devil, he writes with his walking stick. Like he writes sometimes on the sky, sometimes he writes in the water. Depends on what kind of dream Robert dreams.
So did you learn a lot of math from reading it?
Yeah, yes I did. Heartland. I like Heartland a lot.
What's Heartland about?
Well, it's about horses. There's this one girl who owns a horse called Summer Storm. Her name is Amy Flam. She runs Heartland. She sometimes goes to shows, show jumping, training horses. Taking care of damaged horses makes them feel better.
What kind of books do you like to pick up? What section do you go to?
Not easy. Well, easy reads sometimes. Number two.
You go to any shelf you like, right?
Yep. Sometimes I go to hard books, and then I read little bits out of them and try on words. Sometimes works. I've written two books. They're not able to publish. This one right here, it's not. No, they're too messy, writing everywhere. Always messy writing all over the picture pages. The way I drew when I was little, unable to publish.
Mm-hmm. Are you planning on to work on a new book then?
Yeah.
And what else are you working on?
Comic strips, a stupid alien. Because he's so stupid, he doesn't have any sense in him. Everyone's making up this one comic called The Funny Alien. Mm-hmm. But he's not very funny.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1. C O.